Our scripture reading is in Mark chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, and it's going to be page 996 in the Children's Bible. Mark chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father, as we come to your word now, may it come to us as good news. Lord, as we have sung, may we in our heart have prayed, let us see Christ. Let us see him as the great physician our souls need, and as the church, as the hospital this doctor has founded. May we see this as the abundantly good news it is today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin this morning by asking for a show of hands. How many of you enjoy going to the hospital? You actually enjoy it? You enjoy checking in? You enjoy having your illnesses diagnosed? You enjoy having doctors operate on you? You enjoy having strangers nurse you back to health? Show of hands, anyone enjoy hospitals that much? You've been there that much, that's right. Okay, let me just get this straight. You're telling me, a vast majority, you're telling me that you don't enjoy going to the hospital to be poked and prodded and operated on. You don't enjoy receiving medicine and life-saving treatment. You're telling me you don't enjoy any of those things. It's a wonder, then, that you come to church. It's a wonder that anyone comes to church, because the church is a hospital of sorts. It's a hospital where spiritually sick people are poked and prodded and nudged toward Jesus. It's a place where sinners like us are diagnosed and our chronic diseases are treated. It's where we find life-saving treatment for our eternal souls. The church, by its nature, is a lot like a hospital. And the parallels just keep coming. It's costly to be in a hospital, y'all. And it will cost you something to be here. Jesus says it will. Jesus calls us to count the cost as we come to him. You probably know that there are hospitals that will charge an arm and a leg, metaphorically. But the church charges the whole body, literally, the whole self. Jesus says you've got to lay down your whole life if you are to find real life. If going to the hospital is costly, going to church is far more costly. So, why does anyone do it? Why would anyone go? Why would anyone go to the hospital? You know the answer. Because people are sick, and the hospital will save their lives. Why would anyone go to church? Often, the answer is very much the same. Because people are sick, and the church holds forth the cure that will save us. There are a lot of things you don't like about hospitals, I imagine. To me, they just smell funny. There are a lot of things you don't like about churches, I imagine. The people sitting next to me smell funny. But we're here for a very similar reason. We're sick. We need a doctor. Our souls are sick and we need a physician. The good news of our passage today, the good news placed right at the start of Mark's gospel is this. The doctor we need most pursues those who most know themselves to be sick. Jesus says that sick people are precisely who he came to save. The great physician of our souls has come. He has come from heaven. And we see in Mark chapter 2 that this doctor comes making house calls. This is precisely the kind of doctor we need. Not one who doesn't really know or care for us, but one who calls the sick to him by name. Come, follow me. Not one who holds us at a distance, but one who eats and drinks with us, with sinners. Not one who fears that he will be contaminated by us in our ungodliness, but one who infects us with his goodness and imparts to us his holiness. The good news of the gospel is that the doctor has arrived. The only question that remains is this: will we recognize that we are sick? If this is your first time visiting ABC, we're doing something that we rarely do this morning. This morning, I am preaching what is called a topical sermon. A topical sermon on the nature of the church. Typically here, the preaching will be something we would call expositional, where the text of the Bible dictates the flow and content of the message. In expositional preaching, all the sermon's points come from the passage itself, and that's good for you because it means I don't get to pick my own favorite topics week after week, coming at them from the same angles again and again. That would make every sermon feel very samey. You would begin to tune out, and I wouldn't blame you for tuning out. But instead, much like an adventure in expositional preaching, where the Bible goes next, we go next. If Paul's next point is about circumcision, guess what? We talk about circumcision. And I have to make you feel why it's relevant to talk about circumcision. That's what we do on a typical Sunday. So if you're visiting for the first time today, come back on a more typical Sunday. Someday, please. Someday, Sunday, please come back. Because for this Sunday and for next Sunday, we're focusing on one topic, the church. And there are, of course, many aspects of the church. We'll look at a different aspect next week. But today we're focusing on this one, the church as the hospital for sinners. The church is the hospital for sinners and Jesus as the great physician for our souls. As we consider the church as the hospital for sinners and Jesus as the great physician for our souls, I've got 4 points for you today. 4 points to help us peer into this truly amazing reality about the church. One of the downsides about topical preaching, by the way, is that the preacher entirely decides how to approach and cover the topic at hand. The pastor picks the points. It doesn't flow from the text itself. So if it feels like I'm just pulling points out of thin air today, that's because I am just pulling points out of thin air. But if you'll track with me, there's a logic to the flow in these 4 points, and hopefully you'll see it. The first point is, I think, the natural and logical place to begin, because it's where we all must begin. The Bible says we all begin here. Point number one, admitting we are sick. Admitting we are sick. The Bible says that the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? This is a foundational truth for us. If we are to avail ourselves of the hospital, if we are to come to Christ, we must arrive at the place of admitting we are sick. Mark chapter 2 warns us that not everyone will get this. Not everyone will see it. many people won't. Many people won't make it over the first hurdle to their spiritual healing, admitting that they have a problem, admitting that they are sick. Admitting you are sick can be a hard thing to do, particularly if you are a very religious person. Remember the Pharisees' reaction, verse 16. When the scribes of the Pharisees, that's kind of the Pharisees of the Pharisees, when the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus didn't come for religious people. That is, for those who think themselves righteous already. If you think you're righteous by your religious achievements already, then you don't need a Savior because you've already got one. You're already your own functional Savior. If you don't think you're sick, then you don't feel your need for a physician. You won't be seeking out a doctor because you're already right. You're already whole, all on your own. Jesus didn't come for the self-righteous, for people who think they are already good enough for God all on their own. Jesus didn't come for those who see themselves as whole and fit. Jesus came for those who see themselves as broken. Jesus came for sinners. Jesus came as a doctor for the sick. And so, if we are to have Jesus, one of the first things we must do is admit that we are sick. This is a real stumbling block for many people, especially for many religious people. The religious Pharisee says in his heart, it's the non-religious people who are the sick ones, not me. They're the sinners, those who are out there. It's not us in here. After all, I'm so much better than that pagan who lives across the street. Many religious people can find it hard to admit they are sick. But it's also hard for many non-religious people. Sometimes non-religious people can be the most devoutly dogmatic people on this point. They'll say, "I'm not sick. I'm a good person." They might even become outraged. "What? Are you saying I'm not a moral, kind, compassionate person? How dare you? Get away from me with this talk about being sick from birth, with this teaching of original sin." Surprisingly, or unsurprisingly, non-religious people can be very dogmatic. I've seen that. You've seen it. Maybe you've seen this as well. Have you ever noticed how some critics of Christianity openly sneer at the doctrine of original sin, but then they go on to conjure up their own inferior copy of it? Richard Dawkins, for instance, hates and derides the idea that we are sinners from birth. What a terrible thing. But then he goes on to write a book called The Selfish Gene, which is just an inferior copy of original sin. Marx, Freud, Nietzsche, they all make up their own inferior copies of original sin. But Jesus doesn't do this. Jesus doubles down and highlights where the real sickness lies. You've heard it said before, old pastor saying, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. That's where it is. And Jesus points at it. He says, "You think you're a good person because you're not like that murderer on the news, but guess what? The same kind of anger, the same kind of hate that gives birth to murder has a home in your heart. You may not be exhibiting the symptom of murder, but the same root is there in you too. You may think you're a good person because you haven't cheated on your spouse like that politician in the papers, but guess what? Jesus says, if you look with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. The heart of an adulterer resides in you as well. Jesus draws us deeper into the Bible's doctrine of sin. Now, just to be clear, the Bible's doctrine of sin is not that we are as bad as we can possibly be, that we always act on every selfish impulse. When theologians talk about total depravity, that's not what they're talking about. That's not what they mean. The Bible's doctrine of sin is not that we are as bad as we can possibly be, but that, like sick people, we are all totally infected by sin. Every faculty is infected. Our desires, our logic, our will, our affections, our bodies themselves are all infected and affected by sin. We are all sick, even though we also show signs of health. We still show some signs of being made in the image of God. We all retain innate value as image bearers of our Maker. But the image is imperfect. It's been marred. It's been maimed. It's been twisted. And this is something we have to see and admit if we are to come to Jesus. You can't come to the doctor unless you first own that you are sick. I'm told back in the early 1900s, the Times of London asked the UK's leading thinkers to contribute essays on this topic. What's wrong with the world? G.K. Chesterton contributed the best and briefest essay. What's wrong with the world? Chesterton wrote, "Dear sir, I am." Yours, G.K. Chesterton. End of essay. I hope you can see the profoundly Christian impulse in that response. To the question, what's wrong with the world? The Christian confesses, I am. It's me. I'm what's wrong. I'm bent and broken. I'm the one who's sick. It's only when we admit that we are sick that we can come to the second stage in our outline, admitting ourselves to the hospital. We first admitted we are sick. Point number two, we're admitting ourselves to the hospital. You'll hear me say this in our membership class here at ABC, that the church is the one organization where you've got to admit you're a sinner before we let you join. Don't admit you're a sinner, we're not going to let you join. If you don't think you are sick, we wouldn't let you in. We wouldn't let you join our church. It's mainly just the church and the hospital that have this rule. You've got to admit you are sick before we will admit you. And that's as it should be, right? The church ought to be the place where we can all admit we are struggling sinners, where we can own our sin. But many people assume it's the exact opposite. Instead of a hospital, many people assume the church is more like a masquerade ball, where people are covering their true faces, where folks are powdering over their blemishes to try to put on a good show, a good face in front of others, a good show at being the picture of perfect spiritual health. That kind of church is not a hospital. It's a staged performance. It's people wearing masks. It's a state of affairs from which we get a certain Greek word. Hypocrite. You knew that, right? The one who wears a mask, the hypocrite. If the nature of the church is a staged performance, then the charge of hypocrite lands with real force. But if the nature of the church is hospital for sinners, then it's made of a people who freely admit they are sick, who aren't trying to hide their sin, because that's what they're here to deal with. That's why we've come. You wouldn't admit yourself to a hospital and then try to hide or disguise what's wrong with you, would you? Of course not. Then why would you do that in the church? My desire for this church is that we would be the kind of people of God where folks can freely own their struggles, where folks can freely confess their sins, where folks can openly wrestle with their doubts, free from the fear of any Pharisaical responses. Some of you here have just arrived in Tuscaloosa. You're actively looking for a church. You've just moved here. Maybe you're a college freshman. Or maybe you just didn't take the spiritual component of your life seriously last year, and it's new semester, it's time to make a change. Whatever the case, wherever you're here, wherever you are in that search, let me encourage you to look for this kind of church. One where you can freely admit you're sick, and where Jesus is lovingly held forth as the answer. There are many great churches in our town, and I'm sure there are some, perhaps many, who exhibit those qualities better than we do. But the quest is not to find the perfect church, because a hospital is not going to be a perfect place. How could it be? It's full of sick people. It's full of people, sick people making messes. That's what a hospital is. No hospital's perfect. No church is perfect. But go right in and ask yourself this question. Is the great physician here? Is there healing for real sickness here? Can I bring my hurting and sick friends here? That's the church to look for. Before moving on, let me say one word of caution. There is a caution about choosing a church. Churches, because they're full of sinners, can easily miss the mark as well and fall into one of two errors. It's been said that for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditches on either side. And as a church, we don't want to fall off the donkey into either ditch. One ditch a church can easily fall into is to turn down the volume on sin and say to people, you're not really sick. Not really that sick, anyway. After all, who wants to hear that they're desperately sick? That's not a good message, is it? That feels like a real bummer. Who wants to hear that? And so there's a real temptation for churches to say, you're not sick. That desire you have is perfectly natural. That's just the authentic you coming out of your heart. It's certainly not a symptom of any underlying spiritual sickness. You just go and do you. The temptation to fall into that ditch is very real. It's a temptation to sideline the Bible's doctrine of sin and give people instead what Chris Watkin calls warmed over social theories sprinkled with the fairy dust of a few Bible verses. That's not a healthy church. That's not who we want to be. We don't want to fall off the donkey into that ditch, but we also don't want to fall off the donkey into the other ditch. The ditch the Pharisees so often find themselves in. In this ditch, there's a lot of talking about sin. The Pharisees are happy to talk about sin. They're happy to crank up the volume talking about sin. But all the oxygen in the room is spent in condemning other people's sin. It's all focused on denouncing sin that we personally think of ourselves as being too good for. I'd never collaborate with the Roman oppressors by becoming a tax collector, but I'd secretly cheat people if given the chance. I'd cheat on my taxes. I wouldn't become a tax collector, but the same greed is there in my heart as well. One of the errors the church can fall into is thinking that all sickness is out there with them. It's not in here with us. We've got it all right. Those outside have got it all wrong. It's that kind of error that makes the church look less like a hospital and more like a political party. It's political parties that say all that's wrong with the world is outside of us. We've got it all right. The other side's got it all wrong. All the evil is out there with them. All the sickness is found on the other side of the aisle. You'd be able to talk like that if the church is like a political party, but you can't talk like that if your church is like a hospital. What hospital can say all the ill people are on the outside? All the sickness is outside the walls of our hospital. No. By joining this church, you are admitting yourself to a hospital where we collectively confess that we are sick, that we are sinners, that sin is at work in here as well as out there. It's only in admitting we are sick and admitting ourselves to the hospital that we are at long last allowing ourselves to be healed. Which brings us to our third point. Thus far, we've seen admitting we are sick, admitting ourselves to the hospital. Let's now see our third heading, allowing ourselves to be healed. Allowing ourselves to be healed. Realizing we're sick and admitting ourselves to the hospital at first feels like it's all bad news. But admitting there's a problem is often the first positive step on the road to healing. Before healing can happen, the sickness has to be diagnosed. And in this, God doesn't sugarcoat the seriousness of the situation. God doesn't dupe us about the severity of our sickness. Satan will do that. Satan will sugarcoat it. The devil will dupe us. Satan will have us believe that we aren't really that bad. Sin really isn't that serious. Has God really said? That's the tempter's favorite question. But God has said, and he has said it clearly. He has warned us in the starkest terms possible. It's been said that hell is a hard truth, but it's not a hidden truth. Jesus tells us all about it. Jesus paints a vivid picture, one that other cultures in the world have only dimly intuited. People throughout history have known in their gut that there is a place of punishment for our crimes, that there is a final judgment for our treason, that there is a final reckoning for our selfishness in this life. Hell is a hard truth, but it's not a hidden truth. In medical terms, the long-term prognosis for our illness is hard, but it's not hidden. We've been told how humanity's disease progresses and where it ends, short of a miracle, that is. It's into this helpless situation, into the situation of a cancer patient, knowing that hell awaits him, perhaps for the unhealthy choices he's made all of his life. It is to us as cancer patients facing the hopelessness of unending suffering that Jesus unexpectedly comes to our bedside and says, "Take heart. I can heal you. You are a great sinner, but I am the great physician. Everyone who believes in this doctor will never die. This doctor has the ultimate cure for death itself because he has tasted death itself for us. His own precious blood poured out is the remedy for our malady. This doctor comes back from the dead in order to heal us." And what else does he do? How does he perpetuate this healing of humanity? He founds a hospital. He establishes a church. The true church is marked by this. Here's how you identify the true church. The true church is the hospital for sinners where the remedy of the gospel is preached and offered freely to all, where the gospel is visibly proclaimed in baptism and the Lord's Supper. There are many true expressions of the church, Jesus' church in Tuscaloosa, where people experience the healing Jesus brings through the gospel. There are many faithful churches across many denominations in our city. But let me speak to this church and tell you what I am seeing. I am seeing more and more people finding Alberta Baptist as a place to heal from past hurts. People are coming to us something like spiritual burn victims. They've got church hurt, y'all. They've been burned in the past. and many of those wounds still hurt to the touch. Some have even been hurt and disillusioned enough to walk away from the faith for a time. But by God's grace, they are starting to come back. More and more are coming back. More and more people are finding this is a hospital where they can heal, where their faith can heal, where their trust can be restored. More and more, I'm seeing this is an important role for us, an important part for us to play in our city. Being a hospital for sinners where people can just heal. Being a hospital where people whose faith is near flatlining can receive a life-giving jolt, followed by patient care from people who care. Saying that, I won't sugarcoat it or romanticize this work. This is messy and often emotionally draining work. But that's what it's like working in a hospital, isn't it? Working in a hospital is messy and often emotionally draining work, but it's a work worth doing. What we are doing together here is a work worth doing. I want you to know that as you serve and give and pour yourself out for Jesus here at ABC, it is a good work worth doing. It is like you are endowing a hospital that, Lord willing, will be saving lives long after you lay down yours. You're endowing a hospital that is nurturing wounded faith, that is birthing new faith in Christ, that you might not know about until you arrive at the recognition banquet at the end of time. You're a needed part of this hospital, just like you're a needed part of a body, this body. The doctors in the hospital don't say to the nurses, you're not needed here. To the orderlies, we don't need you. Any more than the eye says to the hand, you're not like me, you're not needed. No, each part needs the other. We all have a unique part to play. Sick people though we are, in the healing work Jesus means for the church to do, we all have a part to play. And that brings me to our fourth and final point. We began by admitting we are sick before admitting ourselves to the hospital where we are allowing ourselves to be healed, but we aren't healed in order to do our own thing. We're healed for this reason, among others, but this reason especially, for this final point, allowing ourselves to be instruments of healing. Allowing ourselves to be instruments of healing. I had lunch this past week with another pastor in town. It's a pastor that called me up out of the blue and said, look, I don't know if you know this, but your church is special. I meet your people all over town, and they are always the most encouraging ones to me. Thank you for that, by the way. He said, I have no idea what this might mean or what this might look like, but I want our churches to do something together. So as we met and talked about this past week, this pastor asked me a question about Alberta. He says, what are you excited about with Alberta? And I told him, it's seeing more and more people with spiritual trauma finding healing here at Alberta. I'm excited to see us as a church function like a hospital for sinners. His response was, that's great, but make sure folks know that it's a training hospital that they're in. We're a hospital that trains sick people to serve. We are perpetually sick people with this chronic condition called sin. Nevertheless, we are also doctors and nurses in training. The great physician over this hospital has done so much for us that we want to give back. We want to help others as we've been helped. We're increasingly devoting ourselves to serve in this hospital where we have found help and healing. The grace and care and treatment we've received, we now want to pass on to others. Like Abraham, we've been blessed. to be a blessing. We've been comforted so that we in turn might comfort others. We've gone through our own trauma so that we in turn might help others with theirs. We've had bits of our life broken and mended so that we might be conduits of the same spiritual healing to others. Just as the best billboard from a hospital is the cancer patient smiling on the other side of a successful treatment, the best billboard for a church is the sick and wounded sinner smiling on the other side of finding healing and grace and forgiveness. In Christ's arms, there are 10,000 charms. In the church, there are 10,000 little ways that the best billboard for the church can be you. The best billboard for the great physician can be you. There are 10,000 ways to serve as you have been served, to care for others here as you have been cared for. Just like a church, just like a hospital has too many tasks to name, there are too many touch points for ministry here for me to name in our church today, but I'm going to highlight one. Here is a ministry I want you to give yourself to. Ready? Here's the ministry. Look for the hurting person in your life. Look for the old friend who has been burned. Look for the neighbor who has dropped out of church. Look for the sinner who is feeling himself to be sick. And say to that person, I know a hospital in town that just might be the place for you. I'm part of a church where folks just like you are finding they can finally heal. My church is really trying to be a hospital for sinners, a place of recovery for spiritual burn victims. I'd love to invite you. I'd be happy to bring you. I'll introduce you to our pastors. They are sinners just like you. So you won't shock them, whatever you say. They won't look down their nose at your struggles. They won't scoff at your doubts or belittle your hurdles to belief. They'd actually welcome your hardest questions. As a pastor, I love it when you bring people to me who say, Pastor, I don't believe any of this Jesus stuff. And so I don't know if I'm the type of person you really want to be here. And I say to them, you're the person I want here most. Ask any question you like. Stick around as long as you like. You may not walk out of here today believing, but I will do my best to help you see that this Jesus stuff is really, really good news. You would be living in a completely different world if today you began believing all this Jesus stuff were true. As sick people who are continually being healed by Jesus, we have the eternal honor and privilege of being instruments in the Redeemer's hands. In the context of his church, the great physician is working wonders, and he is pleased to do it through broken instruments like us, like you, like me. This doctor says to his disciples, just as my Father has sent me, so I send you. In the church gathered and scattered, you get to be instruments of healing, which the healing which you have found here in Christ. So, go out and draw in. Be like a beating heart each week. We send you out with the word to draw in the lost. We send you out with the medicine to draw in the sick. We send you out covered in Christ's life-giving blood to draw in those who need it. Like a beating heart, week after week, we surge out in this in and out rhythm every week. I hope you feel that. Show of hands again. How many of you enjoy going to church week by week? Really? You know this is where the sick people are, right? You know you're not meant to always enjoy it, But if you do enjoy gathering as the church, do it realizing the reason, this reason. You are beggars who have found bread. You are orphans who have been given a heavenly kingdom. You are sick and dying people who have found the fountain of eternal life. Now go and tell other sick and dying people where the hospital is. Heavenly Father, I pray over us today that every heart here would feel both the sickness of sin, the illness of selfishness, how broken we often are at times, but also how great a Savior we have in Jesus. Truly, He has come for us who know ourselves to be sick. Lord, may we respond to that as incredibly good news today. We are all equal in our sin, equal before the foot of the cross, and the Savior's arms are extended to us. May we embrace Jesus by faith today as the great doctor of our souls. And in doing so, may we go out from here with the life-giving message of the gospel upon our lips. I pray this in Jesus' name over us. Amen.